I want to share, before Kim shares a song with us, our next profile in suffering, number two, on Paul. I'm planning on doing some of these for the next few weeks, just 5 to 7 minutes. And the reason I'm doing these and the reason I share these short profiles in suffering is in order to equip you to glorify God through your personal and sure path of suffering. And I want to say that again to encourage you and strengthen you in what will be your personal and sure. I can promise you, you're going to have moments of suffering. We are, it seems, at times a very ill-equipped people to suffer well and for His glory in this rich and pleasure-seeking culture. And I think the reason that is because our culture and even our church life has often exalted being happy and feeling good. Being happy and feeling good have become core values to us in our hearts, and obviously suffering is the opposite of that. And instead of faithfulness and endurance and perseverance, which are called for in this age, we struggle with this issue. Now again, I'm not saying that everybody ought to want suffering, but I think that we've got to know, and it's my mission to biblically confirm to you, that in the lives of believers, suffering is not an incidental or accidental thing that happens on the way of an otherwise happy life. Everybody with me? This suffering is not something that's just accidental and incidental that happens. No, suffering is actually a preordained and redeemed path on this faith journey in the earth. And my concern is that the enemy is going to have leverage in our lives, especially in these last days, if being happy and feeling good is the central motivating value of our lives. Arguably, one of the top three themes of all of the epistles is the suffering of the saints, to endure for the glory of Jesus. It's just constant. It's all over the material of what the apostles were writing about. Paul, I would call him an apostle of suffering. Could be one of the titles. It's unbelievable what this man endures within his life. And it starts at the beginning when Jesus speaks about him. He's persecuting the church, you'll remember. Knocked off his donkey by a flash of light, and then he's led toward through a conversion experience, and then Ananias, I believe is his name, or whatever the guy's name was, he was told to baptize Saul the persecutor. And when he's struggling with this, Jesus says to this guy, "Go, for Paul," or Saul, "is my chosen instrument to carry my name before the Gentiles and the kings and the children of Israel. He's my vessel, and I will show him how much he must suffer for my sake." That's an amazing thing. Can you imagine that being in your commission? Yeah, you're going to carry the name of Jesus before a bunch of people, but I'm going to show him. This is preordained that he's going to suffer a bunch for my name. And I don't think this was just because he had made others suffer. It was because there's going to be resistance in the earth against the gospel preaching and against those filled with the Holy Spirit. 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 23 through 30. I encourage everyone to slowly read Paul's resume of his central boast, which is the resume of his suffering. He says, "Are they servants, these false apostles of Christ? I am a better one. I'm talking like a madman. I feel conflicted right now, but with far greater labors and far more imprisonments and countless beatings." Love that phrase. I mean, it's shocking to me. But that, I think, means I can't remember the number. Countless, I can't remember. I've tried to count them for you, but I've had countless beatings. I've often been near death. 5 times I've received from the hands of the Jews 40 lashes minus one, 39 whips with probably some sharp stuff on it. That's 195 lashes across his back. 3 times I was beaten with rods. Once I was stoned. 3 times I was shipwrecked. And night and day I was adrift in sea. On frequent journeys, I was in danger from rivers, in danger from robbers, in dangers from my own people, and in dangers from the Gentiles, in dangers in the cities, and da-da-da-da-da, and even from false brothers there at the end of 26. In toil and hardship and through many sleepless nights, in hunger and thirst, often without food and cold and exposure, and apart from other things, there is the daily pressure of me caring for the churches that I planted. Who's not weak and I'm not weak? Who does not sin and I do not inwardly burn? If I'm going to boast, I boast about these things. That's a shocking resume to me. I mean, I can't imagine a guy being stoned once. That guy'd be my hero. But to have all this happening to him from Alpha to Omega, if you will, of Paul knowing Jesus, he suffered. He experienced the glory of life in Christ, but he suffered not only resistance because of the gospel, he suffered because there's resistance on the earth by the curse. Sometimes it's not we're just being hit because we believe in Jesus. We're being hit because the earth doesn't live in Jesus. The carnality of others, the betrayals of others, the sin of others, and the economic situations, the political situations produced by evil leaders. We suffer in this age. Paul lost the favor he had in many churches he had planted, and he suffered because of the slander of people around him. Paul lost sons in the faith like Demas, who fell in love with this present world and went through the heartbreak of losing key disciples. And Paul, at the end, lost his head and was beheaded for the sake of the gospel. The loss was amazing. But he counted it all rubbish compared to the surpassing glory of knowing Christ Jesus. Again, from beginning to end, Paul's life was suffering, and under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, he wrote these verses. Listen to them. I'll send them to you in the notes. I hope you'll meditate on them. Colossians 1:24, now I rejoice in my sufferings. How do you say that? With integrity. I rejoice in my sufferings for your sake, those in Colossae, and in my flesh I'm filling up what's lacking in Christ's afflictions for the sake of the body, that is the church. Philippians 1:29, 20 years into ministry, Paul writes, for it has been granted to us for the sake of Christ that you should not only believe on Jesus, but that you should also suffer for him. It's a gift. Suffering's a gift that's granted to you. Philippians 3:10, that I may know him. I want to know him and the power of his resurrection, and that I may share, if I could get the privilege to share in the sufferings and become like him in his death. These are stunning verses to human beings who want to feel good. Something had happened inside Paul. And at the last one in 2 Corinthians chapter 12, after he talks about his thorn in the flesh that's tormenting him, three times I pleaded with the Lord to take it away, but he said to me, and you know the verse, my grace is sufficient for you, Paul, for my power is made perfect in weakness. That's where I perfect my unbelievable power. Therefore, Paul says, I will boast. I'm going to brag on more gladly my weaknesses so that the power of Christ might rest on me. For the sake of Christ, then, I am content. I am okay with. There's one translation I think has delight. I'm delighted with weaknesses, with insults, with hardships, with persecutions, and with calamities, for when I'm weak, then I'm strong. My mission for you, and I'm going to bring stories of biographies, I'm going to tell a couple in the sermon coming here, is that suffering is not an accidental and incidental thing that happens on the way of a normally and should be happy life. Suffering is the preordained path of God for the believer. It says those who want to live a godly life, Paul says, you will be persecuted. James the apostle was saying, James 1:2, count it pure joy when you go through trials of various kinds. I'm going to just cover them all. Count it pure joy because you know that the testing of your faith produces patience. See, the apostolic mind and the kingdom of God and the biblical witness is that suffering's ordained for us, and that God gives us all that we need to go through suffering. Suffering perfects us, and suffering produces a platform for a corrupt and hopeless generation to rise above it and to proclaim the glory of God. We say, Jesus is worth more than me just getting mine on this side of eternity. I love him. I want him. And it is worth me going through these aches and pains and rejections so that he might be glorified in my life. May the Lord give us grace that we might say, like Paul said in Philippians chapter 1, whether I die in this prison where I'm at, writing this, in these chains, or I live as long as Christ is exalted through my body. That's what I want. That's what I want. And that's why we need an inward transformation around these things. Kim, go ahead. Father, in the name of Jesus, I ask for a deep work of revelation in us. Dislodge the value of being happy as our number one deal, feeling good. I pray that what would be our number one core value is your glory, your honor, your praise. Lord, you being blessed by those who see us go through a suffering life. Father, I thank you that you can do this and you can then lift off of us the discouragement and the despair that comes by living in a dark age where there is a collision of the kingdom of God and the kingdom of darkness. I pray for my family here. I pray for those here today, those that will watch this and listen later, that you would strengthen our hearts and give us fresh revelation about our destiny of suffering for your glory's sake. I thank you that we live with hope this morning in Jesus' name.